Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. We talk Texas wheat on Monday morning and we're joined by Ms. Steely Fischbacher. Ms. Fischbacher, I hope you had a great Easter holiday.
Yeah, thank you. It was nice to have a little extra time to spend with my family and celebrate a great season. So here we are today, Monday morning, back with you.
That's it. And I always, when I think of Easter, I think of renewal. Renewal to commitments, renewal to family, renewal to what you love and hold dear. And now we've got to renew some new things happening in Texas wheat. Things have been going fast here in the last couple of weeks with the with wheat. Let's first look at a crop report.
Okay, well, things have been moving fast, I think, especially when we talk about the development of the crop. Our conditions have not changed much, though. So we look at the condition ratings of our current crop. We're at 79% poor to very poor. So we are going to celebrate that small win because a week ago we were at 81%. Mm-hmm. So we're down under 80% poor. That we're going to celebrate that.
Yeah.
We have only 7% of our acres rated as good to excellent. And interesting to note that, you know, when we look back in history, when we try to pick out a year that's similar to our crop conditions, the most recent year that we have that kind of mirrors our conditions is 2006. And in 2006, we had a very, very short crop, very low yield relative to trend line, but also very low harvested acres. And talking to some farmers over the last few weeks, I know we've had a lot of insurance adjusters out to look at acres and determining what impact we've already felt and zeroing out some of those acres. And so I think we're going to see a kind of a repeat or at least a similar year to what we saw in 2006, unfortunately. Mm. At the same time, I had the ability to travel across a big portion of the state last week. I went down to Waco to attend a field day there in McGregor. And so saw kind of varying conditions along the way. The plots that we were in at McGregor had about 4 inches of rain during the growing season compared to 14 inches in an average season. So those plots did not look great, but there are some fields, you know, here and there that will make grain. So the good news there is that the price that we have right now is favorable. And so if you have that grain that you can take, should be able to make some of that work on the price side. At the same time, while I was there at that field day, had a great opportunity to hear Dr. Mark Welch speak. He's an economist with Texas A&M. He always does a great job. He talked us through kind of the insurance side of that. So most of our wheat is insured across the state, kind of that 50 up to 75% coverage level. So we have a little bit of a lower coverage level compared to some other states. But that those revenue policies do take into account the price. So we had our base price set at, I think, $7.08, just over $7. And then we will move into our new harvest price setting period through the month of June. And it will be averaged off of those July futures contract. So if prices continue where they're at or just even above that $7, the insurance coverage on that wheat, if you did have a failure, you did have those lower yields, you should be able to get some of that benefit back through a revenue policy and crop insurance. So there is still some coverage here. He was really encouraging guys, even, you know, if you're not going to make those yields that you anticipated early in the season, there's still some time here to take advantage of some of these higher prices that we're seeing, especially like what we saw last week, really high prices in July futures contract. So something to keep in mind for our growers and something to continue watching as we continue to wait for additional rainfall.
We had Dr. Welch on the show a couple of weeks ago and in reference to Texas corn, and very insightful, very, very great news when it comes to the economy of producers across the High Plains. And if you want to see some pictures of the field day, you can go to texaswheat.org. And you said, Steely, their precipitation is just as low, comparatively, usually 14 inches to about 4, as what we're seeing here in the High Plains?
That's right. They've been very, very dry. Fortunately, they did have a storm come through early last week where they've picked up almost an inch of rain.
Wow.
And they do have some secondary and tertiary tillers that were coming on that may be able to help with some of that yield. So there is still some time for that crop as it's heading to go ahead and fill with a little bit more grain.
No, and I know we're expecting maybe a chance of some precipitation throughout the week here in the Panhandle. So fingers crossed, we need it really, really bad. Now, there's a new FSH state head, right?
That's right. So over the last few months, the Biden administration has been announcing state FSA leaders. We had an earlier announcement for a state executive director here in Texas. Unfortunately, that individual had to step away from that position. And so this week, there was a new person appointed. So that will be Kelly Adkins, be the new state executive director, actually here out of the local area.
Oh, wow.
She's been in Canyon and has been a district director here for FSA, and so has a lot of history within the program, which is always very helpful for that individual to step into the state lead role and have a lot of history and background with the different programs that our farmers are using. So it's always good to get somebody in that position, get that state technical committee up and running and meeting, and that just lends to have some of those programs work a little bit smoother out in the countryside. But definitely a big announcement that happened last week with Kelly Adkins being named.
That is an exciting proposition. And you're 100% correct. Whenever a person comes from this part of the world or is really in the ag world or the rural part of our state, it seems to work out better for us when it comes to the producers and what we do. A lot of events coming up. April, May are going to be some really, really busy times for Texas wheat. And you've got some upcoming events.
Yeah, this next week we'll kind of be spread out in different parts of the state. We have a couple of our staff members going to the Texas Grain and Feed Annual Convention. That'll be held in Corpus, so there'll probably be some other folks from the Panhandle heading down there that work in our grain industry. Be looking forward to seeing them and hearing about the challenges and the opportunities in the grain handling. So we work very closely with Elevators. In fact, for our Texas Wheat Producers Checkoff, that they are the folks who collect that from the farmers and send it to us, the 2 cents per bushel on every bushel of wheat sold in the state. So very good partnership that we have with them, and looking forward to that meeting. Also this week, we will be kind of attending a couple different legislative events for the association side. So we will be meeting with Congressman Arrington and August Pfluger. Two of our kind of regional congressmen will be in town, and they're actually hosting an event with the Western Caucus. So hoping to have, you know, several members of Congress here in the area to learn about our industry, about agriculture, about oil and gas, and the industries that kind of power this region. So really good opportunity for us to get in to that event and, you know, just discuss the needs of wheat producers, explain exactly what's happening out in the field and how challenging these times have been, not only because of our drought and the weather conditions we face, but also on the input side. You and I have talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
I know you focus on that in your show several folks, but kind of how challenging some of these things are, and be able to kind of highlight that for these members of Congress as they're in town. We also have a more local event here in Amarillo with Congressman Jackson, who will be in town for the opening or ribbon cutting of the Texas Tech Vet School, which is very exciting for the region. And so he will have an event along with that dedicated to agriculture that we'll be involved in, and have the opportunity for us again to say, have those conversations with those legislators and talk about wheat.
Yeah, it's always a good chance when you can get in front of those decision makers to do something. You were talking about input costs. Follow Texas Wheat on their Twitter, at Texas Wheat, and the Texas Farm Bureau came out and said the cost of growing crops could outpace revenue for many farmers in 2022. That's some major news right there. And if you want to see the whole statement that they made on that with increased global demand and domestically and globally, that's some news you want to hear. Steely, I want to ask you one quick question before we get out of here. Texas Wheat, and your, especially your position, you went to a field day. You were out in the field. You saw the crops. Then next week, you're going to be in front of a lot of decision makers. How does that help you get that message between the two, between the producer in the field and the decision makers? Is that a tough transition for you?
Oh, no, it's actually the best transition we can have. So anytime that we are able to get out and meet with farmers, so there was probably 60 farmers at that event that I was at, and hear exactly from them, you know, what's challenging, what questions they have is really helpful. We turn around, we take those questions, and we send them right up to Congress. You know, we ask those questions that they have. We bring up the challenges that they're seeing and ideas they have for what could make things run better, be smoother. You know, anything that's getting in their way from the government, we try to bring that message. And so it's actually very essential for me not only to be out in the field and see the crop, you know, sightline.
Yes.
But also just those conversations that we have with farmers. And that's why the way we're set up is that we're run by farmers. So we have 15 farmers elected to our board, and they're having those conversations every day in their communities across the state, and they are the ones who tell us, you know, exactly what to work on and what to focus on and what's important to them.
Yeah. And moving ahead with looking at working on a new farm bill, it's just so very important in this stage of the game to have that, the feedback, the back and forth, and you being able to deliver those messages just right to the powers that be. So a great job by Texas Wheat being that that liaison between the State House and the Farmhouse.
That's right. And I did mention, so we have a couple opportunities at the end of this week to have those conversations with our legislators. Mm-hmm. And so if there's anybody out there who has something they want brought up, you know, related to wheat, feel free to give us a call this week.
Most definitely. Most definitely. That's all that great information you can get on texasweed.org. I suggest you follow them on Twitter, at Texas Wheat. You get to see some great reports of how seeds are doing, how different seed varieties are doing. You get to see what other fields look like across the state of Texas, and you get the breaking information you need to make right decisions as we move ahead. Well, Steely, thank you so much for that. You've got a busy week, and probably that's the hard part of your job. It's kind of fun to be out in that fresh air in the field, but now you're going to have to go sit in some staterooms for a while and just kind of knuckle down and do the homework.
Yeah, that might not be quite as fun. You're right.
That's it. Well, Steely, as always, thank you so much for spending time with us, and have a great week, and wish you the best.
Yes, sir. Thank you.